Good morning, and a very warm welcome to our morning service. And thank you once again for heeding the guidance of the stewards. As our numbers continue to increase, it's so important that we comply with our approved management plan and its associated COVID mitigation measures. Again, at the end of the service, can I ask you to allow worshippers in front to exit their pews before you stand up and begin to move forward towards the sanitisation stations and the exit. This morning's service will be taken by Bill Imlay, and not as previously intimated, as our minister, the Reverend Dr. Amos Chuachong. During Amos's short break to Oban to celebrate Florence's birthday, he was informed of the death of his father. Amos and Florence have cut short their break and have returned home, where they're currently making arrangements to travel to the Cameroon to attend the funeral. Can we please hold Amos, Florence, and the family in our prayers and thoughts over the course of the coming week? As the easing of lockdown measures continue, can I remind you that congregational singing is permitted, albeit muffled through your face masks, which must be worn at all times. With effect from today, however, the choir are allowed to remove their face coverings when leading the congregation in worship. Slowly but surely, we're creeping back towards normality. And now it gives me great pleasure to hand you over to Bill to conduct our morning worship. Thank you.
Good morning. A moment of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are the author of life and the giver of victory. You deliver our eyes from tears and our feet from falling. To your loving care we commend Amos and Florence and the Mance family. Be with them in their hour of grief, brought to them suddenly in the midst of a time of retreat and relaxation. Uphold them in their pain and their sorrow. Surround them with love and care. Let them know that they are not alone, that they are in all our hearts and thoughts and prayers, and also in the certain knowledge that their Father is now in the greatest company of all, in the name of whom we pray. Amen. The hymn writer says, Jesus calls us to his table, rooted, firm in time and space, where the church in earth and heaven finds a common meeting place. We gather together and yet apart, using this time and this space to meet God and allow him to meet us. Permit God to use this time and this space. Let him be the breath in our words. Let him be the reason in our thoughts. Let him be the impulse in our worship. Allow him to teach us. Allow him to serve us. Allow him to use us. Let us worship that ever-present God. Our first hymn this morning is hymn 160. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you.
In Hebrews, we are given this advice. We can take courage and say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Let us pray to that God. Let us pray. Lord God, you have called us here, and we have come to worship in wonder and love. Let us enter your presence of grace and mercy with praise on our lips for all you have accomplished for us. In the wonder of creation and the joy of recreation, in the power of compassion and the healing of mercy giving, open our eyes to see you near, our ears to hear your calling, our hearts to respond with mercy given. On this Father's Day, we rejoice that you sent your Son to be born amongst us, to be an example to follow. So may our worship praise all we owe to all fathers for the life we have, the love, the care, the support we have received, and the wisdom our fathers have given us. We seek to be faithful to them and to you, and seek those gifts of the Spirit that allow us to strive for all that is right, all that is good, all that is true. We have such faith in you that we have courage and strength in all we face. Grant this, our prayer of praise. Father, forgive us. Forgive us this day for times when we have failed to be good members of a family, whether it is our own earthly family or your church family. It is your great desire that we live in love and unity. Forgive us when we ignore your teachings. Father of mercy, we put our trust in you. Forgive us and help us. Forgive us our anger and the harsh words we sometimes use to those who are nearest and dearest to us. Give us the strength to control our thoughts and our tongues. We put our trust in you. Forgive us and help us. Forgive us for taking the warmth, the comfort, the security for granted, for always assuming that our home will be always that way, so when so many others in the world lack anything. We gather these prayers to you in the words taught to remind us that we are all your children, saying together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Hymn 550, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you."
Thank you. Our first reading this morning is from the Old Testament, Psalm 32, verses 1 to 7 and verses 10 and 11. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Luke 15, verse 11 to 32, the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here am I starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. We'll now sing the next hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of light and truth, open our eyes to the glory of your presence in the world around us, but chiefly in the face of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, that we may grow into his likeness and attain the happy fulfillment of our hope when the splendor of the Savior will be revealed. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. By the time I retired, including the nursery, Birkhill Primary had a roll of nearly 300 pupils. All the parents and most of the staff thought it was quite incredible that I knew the name of every single boy and girl. As usual, the kids in school knew the truth, but bless them all, rarely told on me. Almost without exception, I could pick out a girl and then proceed to call her by her sister's name. Inevitably, it was the same with the boys. I have to say the kids were very tolerant and quite often amused. One day, however, I was speaking to one of the wee girls in the school, I think she was about primary two, and I called her Claire, and she looked up at me and said, very quietly, Mr. Imlay, my name is Taylor. Claire's my mummy. She was, of course, quite correct. I had taught her mother more than 20 years previously. I think that was probably one of the reasons I retired. Speaking of getting the names wrong, this story from Luke is probably one of the most famous in the whole Bible. It's probably best known as this parable of the prodigal son. But I think there's a better title, a title that really reflects more about what this parable is all about. It should be the story of the loving father. And why not? Jesus didn't give it a name, and the real hero is the father, someone to whom we could look, particularly on this Father's Day, as an example to us all. Jesus is using this parable to tell us of the huge depth of forgiveness and love which God has for us. And the younger son had demanded his inheritance. Now, in Middle Eastern terms, this was as bad as it gets. It's like saying you wished your father dead. You just wanted him out of the road and out of your life altogether. Now, had he followed the local custom, the father would have thrown him out of the door. The son would have been cast out penniless. He would have been rejected not only by the family, but by the entire community in which the family lived. For that younger son, it was a selfish and unthinkable decision to take. His behavior was just dreadful. However, the father ignores all the accepted norms of society. He takes upon himself all of the suffering. The father accepts the rejection by his son, accepts the humiliation of dividing his estate, accepts the loss of his son to a shameful lifestyle. And then in Luke 15, verse 17, we read that the son has come to his senses. He has decided to return and to plead that he should be treated no better than a lowly servant, a slave. From a long way off, the father sees him. In spite of all that rejection, suffering, and humiliation, and without any hesitation, the father runs to greet him. Now, as far as my Bible thesaurus is concerned, there are only 7 mentions of any kind of sport in the entire Bible. So it just gives you an idea of its priority amongst the Jewish nation of the time. Running for anyone over the age of 40 was considered genuinely embarrassing. It was a social gaffe of the highest order. To help with his running, he would have to lift his robes, which would simply take the humiliation to a whole new level. It was the father who was the first to show compassion and joy. He hugged and kissed his son before the son could say anything. Then the father ordered the servants to bring the best robe they could find. The robe would help cover the filthy rags which the younger son would have been wearing. Symbolically, he called also for sandals and a ring. This was important because the sandals indicated that the son is being accepted back into the family as a full member of the family and with all the status that that involves. The ring on his finger was also a very clear social message. It signaled to one and all that the son was permitted to conduct business on the father's behalf. When the son returned, the father's forgiveness was instant. It was all enveloping. It was unconditional. The son's return to the family was complete in every way. It was as if he had never been away. Indeed, it could be argued that there is even more happiness now than there had been. The son, who was lost to the family, was welcomed back with a party and with great rejoicing. This is the wonderful, forgiving, complete love of God. Jesus reveals it to us in the parable of the loving father. In spite of everything that we might manage to get wrong, God will forgive us. He will forgive us if we go to him with genuine sorrow and in repentance. If we choose the right path and the journey back to his arms, we can be sure of God's acceptance. If we follow the journey taken by his son and the example he has given us, we can be sure of God's love. If we humbly ask for forgiveness and for help, we can be sure of a welcome. If we listen to the word of God and accept the invitation to serve Jesus, what joy awaits. Jesus was clear that the love of God is greater than anything that we can imagine. It's far deeper, longer lasting, and more durable than we have any right to expect. We cannot measure in human terms the perfect forgiveness that God has for us. And as we journey through life, we are accompanied on that journey by a loving father, a father who suffers, forgives, and who rejoices to see us. A father gives us the greatest gift of all. John 3, verse 16. For God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. Amen. And Father, forgive for your forgiveness, your acceptance, and your eternal love. We give you thanks. Our next hymn is hymn 543, Longing for Light, We Wait in Darkness. prayer of dedication. Let us pray. Living God, you have poured out your blessings upon us day after day. You have filled our lives with good things so that they overflow with plenty. You have met our needs and more than our needs, giving us a world of infinite variety and pleasure. Receive now all our gifts, for we bring to them as a simple but a small way of saying thank you. Thank you for all you have done in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And we continue, we pray for others and for ourselves. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for wisdom for parents, for those bringing up children alone or in a family, for those under pressure or strain, for those parents uncertain of employment and how to keep out of debt, for those parents concerned for their children's welfare and future, and for those unconcerned and unaware of where their children are or what they might be doing. May the light of Christ be the source of all wisdom for parents. We pray for wisdom for churches where the gospel is preached and faith in Christ is declared, for churches active in social concern, working with the young and the needy. Grant that they may have time to pray and to study your word. For churches rich in fellowship and things of the Spirit. Father, we pray for your church here in Newport. Be with all its members, the members of the succession, the congregation, and all of the North Fife cluster. Be with us all as we encounter the opportunities and the challenges of life in this lovely part of the world. May the light of Christ be the source of all wisdom for churches near and far. Lord, we pray for wisdom for our world. We pray for those who struggle for justice, for the deprived and the despairing, for those who are seeking to make the world a cleaner, safer, fairer place for all. For those leaders in politics, industry, and finance who work only in the short term and give no thought to future generations. May the light of Christ be the source of all wisdom for all the world. Lord, we pray for wisdom for people, for those who are tempted and trapped by the offers of instant solutions to their problems, but have no answers to the debts that must be faced tomorrow. For those enslaved by gambling, by playing the lottery, and for those who ignore the fact that those sudden riches are paid for by folk who can least afford it. We pray for all those working with people who are struggling with any kind of addiction. May the light of Christ be the source of wisdom for all people. Lord, we pray at this time for wisdom for all young people, for those seeking help and guidance in their studies, for those seeking employment in their chosen profession, for those finding it all but impossible to say no to pressure from their peers, for all the plans, the dreams, and the choices of all young people. May the light of Christ be their source of all wisdom. Father, we pray for ourselves. May the light of Christ be the source of our wisdom in all that we face, and in all that we choose, in all that we plan, in all that we desire, in our relationships and in all our service, in our pain and in all our pleasure, in all our successes and in all our failures, our joys and our sorrows, and on all our walking with God and trusting in Jesus, in all our waiting on the Spirit and in all our surrender. May the light of Christ be the source of all that wisdom, in whose name we pray. Amen. In the great company of saints, past and present, we stand together to affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue standing as we sing together here and at home our final hymn, hymn 502, Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be, Consecrated, Glad and Free. Our service here is ended, in the church and at home on Zoom. And there are various ways we go out into the world. As we do so, be bold to share the life of Christ and to show his love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always.